Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, Ruth Chagwinya, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
Very well, thank you, Ruth. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. I'm fine. Just chilly, but hanging in there.
Yeah. Slightly chilly, but we love the chilly because it is that time. Not that we love it. It's okay. We've got to just see begezeli.
Yeah.
We need to do
the
begezeli.
Yes.
Now, thank you for joining us, Ruth, this afternoon. We're talking about the role of teachers as moral mediators, and school is an institution that influences the in a decisive manner, rather, the education of young generations of a society. Now, even if the intellectual education and the transmission of knowledge seem to be a major role of the school, we simply cannot neglect its impact for moral and effective development of children. So, Ruth, do teachers have any influence on learners that goes beyond the intellectual or academic education they offer?
I want to start by sharing a quote that I came across, and it says, "A teacher offers eternity. He can never tell where his influence stops." And this is by Henry Adams. And then we have George Knight. He says that the curriculum cannot focus merely on the mental or any other part. It must develop the whole man. And he goes on to say, besides being an expounder of truth, a teacher should also have an abiding care for the individual under his care. And with that being said, I want to say, yes, it definitely has an influence on the learners, has an influence with all students that come across his path. And I just want to start by saying, speaking to teachers in general, you have had teachers, I have had different experiences with them. And, we have teachers that lifted us up. We have teachers that pulled us down. And I want to talk to teachers today and say, as you look at yourself as a teacher, introspect today, who were your teachers too as a teacher? How did they impact you? How did they influence you? Which teacher helped you? Which teacher brought you down? So as you are looking at yourself, think of the teachers in your life also, and then come to yourself and say, what kind of a teacher am I? Am I a good teacher? Am I a bad teacher? What legacy am I leaving in the children that I'm coming across that are passing through my classroom? Thousands of children pass through a teacher's hands.
Yeah.
What impact have you left? Are you leaving a sweet taste, beautiful memories, or is there a bitter taste? Is there bitterness from the students after they have passed through your hands? And so we cannot avoid influence. We cannot avoid, as I'm speaking to you, you have most probably influenced me in one way or the other. Mm-hmm. You're speaking, I have influenced you. We all influence each other.
Yeah.
We cannot just, as a teacher, you can't just say you are just teaching and that's all you're doing. You're just a teacher. You have just come to give knowledge and that's where it ends. No. And so back to George Knight again.
Mm-hmm.
He says that, this is another school of thought. This is Brent Palmer. And he wrote a paper called The Teacher's Personal Touch, The Social Dimension in Adventist Education.
Mm-hmm.
And it says teachers teach by example as much as they do classroom presentation study material. They are models of a particular lifestyle to their students and modeling the students with an example to follow.
Yep.
Students tend to fashion their lives more according to what the teacher does than by what is said by the teacher. And so, yes, teachers, whether you like it or not, you are an influence on whatever student God has put on your way.
Yeah, it sounds like quite a very serious, weight on a teacher's, shoulders. Quite an expectation, I must say.
It is. Hey, it is quite. I feel like teachers often don't take their work seriously, for lack of words, don't see the importance of the role they are playing, and George Knight says that a teacher is a minister.
Mm.
You are, whatever you are doing in front of a student is a form of ministry that you are giving out. So as a teacher, don't just take your work as just being a teacher.
Mm.
You are a minister of the Lord. Your work is a ministry.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Interesting. Interesting and interesting. Now, but tell me, is it a teacher's responsibility? I know that the teacher's responsibility is to educate, you know, give education, and so that the child can pass their grade, get to the next grade, give them information that they need about the particular subject. Now, is it can we place it as a responsibility to offer guidance of you know, shaping a child's moral compass? You've quoted a beautiful
yes.
book by George, but is it really a incumbent on a teacher to do that?
Yes. I want to say that as long as you're an Adventist teacher, you are falling under the spirit of prophecy. Let us come to the spirit of prophecy. What does Ellen White say about teachers? In the book Education, she shares the role, the important role that a teacher has, and the way a teacher should conduct themselves as according to the Lord, as expected by the Lord. And she says that teachers are to do more for their students than to import knowledge of books.
Wow.
Their position as guide, as instructor of the youth is most responsible for to them is given the work of molding mind and character. And so as long as you're an Adventist teacher, wherever you are teaching, this is knowledge that you should have. And it says that your work is beyond giving book education. It's you are molding the mind and molding the character. You are a nurturer. And it says those who undertake this task should possess well-balanced, symmetrical characters. They should be refined in manner and neat in dress, careful in all their habits, and they should have Christian courtesy that wins confidence and respect of the students. So you actually have to be of certain character. You know, we have had teachers in our lives who have impacted us in one way or the other. And I've also had teachers who were very positive in my life. And there were those who, in all honesty, brought down my self-esteem in so many ways. The way they spoke to you, the way they addressed you, when you failed, how were you treated, when you did well, how were you treated, that kind of a thing. It could have been favoritism and so forth and so forth and so forth. There is a lot going on over there with teachers today. And you wonder to yourself, why is this person behaving that way? You know, there are teachers who are just heavy and difficult to speak to. They will insult you. They will do all kinds of things.
Yep,
you know,
yep.
And you're like, is this the same person? I'm worshiping with the church. You know, we are in class together just now. And a few hours from now, that same teacher is preaching the kindness and the love of God. And, you know, or they are behaving in a way that is questionable. You know, a teacher who will, you will find drinking, you will find, you know, male teachers, you know, dating young girls. But it says here that those that undertake the task of being a teacher, a Christian teacher, and let me say a Seventh-day Adventist teacher, you need to be of symmetrical character.
Yeah.
You need to be refined in manner. You need to be careful in all your habits. And, you know, you should command confidence and respect in all that you do. So as you are a teacher, I'm challenging teachers to say, what kind of a teacher are you? Are you a teacher who is doing your honest part in being a good teacher, in being the salt of the earth to the students that come across you? Teachers, sometimes you are the only family that that child is ever going to have. You are the only positive example that a child is ever going to have. You are the only light at the end end of the tunnel. Yeah. That little encouragement that you give, that kind word, that smile, that concern, that extra, you know, thing that you do for your students, that, you know, some children are going through a lot at home in their own backgrounds. Life is going down. They have no support, no one to help them with homework, no one to teach them how to dress well. But when they come to school and they meet warmth, when they come to school and meet support, when they come to school and meet love and care, when they come to school and most of all, meet Jesus through you. Teachers, I am saying in all that we do, let us look at the end game.
Yeah,
we are here to restore. We are here to redeem. We are here to bring souls to Christ. In one way or the other, you cannot avoid these things. We have been given a mandate. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. You are already giving book knowledge, but your life, the way you carry yourself, the way you dress, some students will only learn to dress modestly because Miss So-and-so was always dressed so well.
That's
she
true.
Carried herself with grace. She carried herself beautifully. Some of us today, the way we are because we had, you know, positive teachers, we had positive female teachers who showed us, you know, in the way they lived in their lives. It may not have been a word they said or anything, but you look at someone and, you know, whatever it is about them rubs off positively onto you. So teachers, we come back to what the Bible, to what God is saying. Is saying we need to be of symmetrical character. We need to dress well. We need to be exemplary. You will be asked, I gave you 5,000 teachers, 5,000 children passed through your hands. What did you do with them? What did you change?
Yay.
What change did you bring as a teacher? She goes on to say, you know, as we are choosing teachers in schools, the two things that matter as we are selecting teachers. You know, sometimes we choose teachers because they get good grades, which is very good. It's not bad, but their character is rotten to the core.
Oh,
and so it's important to look for the character, to look in character, to say, in as much as you are bringing A's, you know, you're bringing your A game and A's to the school, a good pass rate, how is your character?
Mm-hmm.
We are looking beyond the book. We are looking beyond the cover and looking deeper. And it's also the attitude of the teacher. I feel that we have teachers that also come across and have already preset attitudes to say children are a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Children are naughty. You can't tell them anything. They don't listen. They come from homes. They are spoiled. They are like this. You have your preset, your precast, you know, ideas, and they influence how you are going to take care of the children around you. It influences your character, how you are going to treat them, who you are going to be to them. You already have these ideas, and yet these children just want someone who will love them, who will give them positive guidance, who will embrace them, who will, you know, in spite of whatever they are going through, whatever they look like, children just want love. They just want care. And it says, rather than just considering their level of knowledge and expertise, teachers are also called to serve as positive role models with strong morals. As a teacher, are you morally strong or are you wishy-washy? Are you bending backwards and forwards? Are you of no, or, you know, are you of no abode? Are you of no opinion? Are you wavering between opinions? Who are you? So as teachers, you also need to have your standards. You need to have your, you know, you need to have your rules of life, you know, to say, this is who I am. I am not like this. I am a believer of Christ. And that is who I am going to be channeling into the world. I don't only teach maths, but in my teaching maths, I'm also teaching the Lord on the cross. I'm teaching the Lord crucified. I'm teaching redemption. I am bringing Christ to the classroom. I am saying the children through me are going to grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with both God and men.
And men, yeah. You know, what you are saying actually reminds me of my teacher moons ago. I think she was my history teacher in, I think it must have been standard four. I don't know what grade is it now. Man, that teacher used to come in. As a result, I used to hate history because of the teacher. I used to hate it.
Yeah, now, you see now.
Now, exactly. And interestingly, though, that when I left school, we went to varsity and finished varsity, graduated, etc. The way I love history, you know, the way I love history, I so much study history. And I wish, you know, I was saying to myself just the other year, some 3-4 years ago, I was saying, I wish that teacher was just not that mean, because I just love history. I love studying historical events, etc., etc. And if that teacher had cultivated that, instead of coming to the class, insulting us, telling us that we're going to fail, telling us that we're not neat, etc., etc., perhaps I would have, you know. So I definitely, you know, what you're saying resonates with me, because I think I have experience of that. So I absolutely, absolutely agree with that, eh?
Yes.
Now, lastly, Ruth, before I let you go, and very briefly, can a teacher really do the job of an absent or distant parent? Because some parents are quite busy. They come to work, from work to home, they're exhausted. They go back, sleep, wake up, go to work. Others are just absent. Very briefly, can a teacher really, get into that gap?
You never know. You never know. That's why it's said that you need to have morals. You need to be of symmetrical character. You need to be that person. What I'm saying is, expect anyone to be walking through your classroom. And everyone should, you know, be kind, be good, be loving. You may not know what a child is going through. And through your kindness, through your love, through your care, through whatever, you know, you are going to be that person who God has sent to save this child from the difficulties that they're going through. You remind me of a story I've read on the internet time and time again. I think we can call them these urban legends that go around. There's a student there's a teacher who say that they saw a student who came to the class, and I think the student fell asleep or something in class. And she asked, what's wrong? Why are you sleeping? And the teacher said, I just lost my mom today.
Oh, man.
And the only place I could think of going to was your classroom.
Wow. Wow.
That's the kind of impact. That's the kind of teachers that we should be. I think the message is out there. Teachers, whatever we have been doing, whoever we have been, when we come to your schools, may we hear that there is a Mrs. So-and-so, there is a Sir So-and-so, there's a Miss So-and-so who is doing amazing things, who is making a difference in every child's life. You know, we want a teacher where children will come back and say, if it wasn't for you, I had nobody at home, but you always looked out for me and realized that I had no food for school, and you always brought a lunchbox for me. That kind of a thing. So we need to, as we are looking at our students, let us look at them in, like, individually and see their needs. Do your best to meet them, to meet their needs. They are slower students. They are faster students. They are intelligent students. They are students who are not as intelligent. Let us look out for that child who is behind. Let us look out for that. Let us encourage. Let us motivate. Let us nurture, you know, those students. I've been a slow student behind. I know what it feels like to fail because of neglect. I wish I had been given more attention. I wish I had been, you know, given, yeah, more. I think I would have performed better in some instances. But the teachers worked with those students who were more intelligent.
So smart.
And us who were not that, who were not fast learners, we lagged behind, we suffered. And so look for that student, you know, who needs more care. Look out for that one who is always alone. What are they going through? Why are they always alone? Be their person, be their friend, reach out, be caring, be nurturing. Most of all, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We have a mandate, we have a call, we cannot run away from it. Whether you like it or not, you are an influence. Do your honest part.
Beautiful. Well, Ruth, I must thank you so much for your time. Fantastic, fantastic conversation. Thank you, and thank you so much. Be blessed.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.